Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello, welcome to another edition of the C-Squared Podcast. This is your host, Curtis, with my co-host, Aaliyah, and we are here today with John Garcia, a.k.a. Stay Puffed, who is a Twitch streamer. He has his own Twitch channel. He streams with Not Fest, and I think he's done some other streams. Oh, he's also a Gimme Radio presenter now. And
that's twice. Twice we've done it.
Twice? Ooh, twice now. Cool. So he's got his fingers in a lot of pies. So he's with us today to spread some wisdom and regale us with tales of Twitch streaming. So thanks for coming on, John, and we really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. It's great to be here and actually like talk to you face-to-face, Curtis, although I do have to say if you're coming to me for wisdom, then I don't know, we may be going down the wrong path to begin with, but happy to chat. And, you know, just, you know, this thing that we all love to do, you know?
Cool. So to start us off, the very first question we ask everyone is to please give us a nutshell version of who you are, what you do, but the nut version.
Yeah. As Curtis said, I'm John Garcia, aka Stay Puffed. I'm basically just a Twitch variety streamer, although I focus mainly on music, heavy metal, extreme music, heavy stuff, underground stuff, all of that type of stuff. I've been streaming about three to four times a week for the past like year and change. And then I also do streaming and hosting with Knotfest on their Twitch channel and YouTube channel, doing like interviews, new music shows, stuff like that. I guess that would be the nutshell version of it.
That's perfect, actually. So I'll let Aaliyah continue with her follow-up.
Yeah, so going into a little more depth on that, how did you get started on Twitch? What led you there?
The easy answer is the pandemic. The much longer answer is I was just basically lost in looking for some sort of direction about midway through 2020, about June, July or so. And like all of my outlets were cut off, like no shows, no gatherings, no going to bars, no doing anything like that. I was working in the news industry, so my hours were really crazy. I was just subjected to everything that was going on in 2020 at like a rapid fire basis. So it was like really draining. And then, you know, having, and then having to deal with like furloughs and stuff like that. So it's like, cool. So you want us to cover the news, but also want to not pay us for like a week. Great. Awesome. So there was a lot of that. And I had been dabbling with wanting to do like Twitch streaming and stuff like that for a while. I had originally had a thought like, oh, well, maybe I can reteach myself how to play guitar like online, like I'll live stream my practices or something like that. But I was like, ah, no, not a single person would want to watch some dude just trying to like mangle guitar chords or something like that. He says a little bit regretfully now. So, so I just, you know, because there was nothing else to do over, you know, about a year or so before 2020, I had really started getting back into heavy metal. Like I had never really walked away from being a fan of the genre, but as far as like keeping up with everything on a like weekly or monthly basis, like knowing who the new bands were or anything like that, it was just like completely gone for me. I hadn't really paid attention until like I left college. So I had slowly starting to get back into that for a little while, and then as soon as March hit, it was like I was back in high school again, and I was just like listening to everything that I could get my hands on. I was trying to find new stuff, rediscover old stuff, find things that I should have been listening to for 20 years but had never listened to before. And because of that, that led me to a Twitch streamer named Terry Beezer, also known as Bees, who does like so much stuff. He's been around in the industry for years and years and years doing stuff with I'm gonna forget the name of it now. It's not Spunk TV. I just completely lost it. It is you guys are gonna have to edit this part probably. It is I don't remember what it was with, but so he had done a lot of stuff, worked with Download, came over here, had a podcast called That's Not Metal that I, you know, that listened to a hell of a lot, and then just followed him over on Twitch and started like meeting friends and people online and watching other Twitch streamers and sharing music on Discord pages and stuff like that, and so after, you know, the summer or whatever it was when I finally decided I think this is something that I kind of want to do because I literally have nothing else to do and I'm listening to music all the time anyway, right? So like, why don't I just like get on, play a couple of tracks or listen to some albums or whatever, who cares if anybody watches or not. So because of that, I just kind of fell into that, and because of those relationships I had made through Bees's channel and through a couple other people's channels and like Discord stuff and things like that, I already had people that were interested in just like hopping on for a little bit for a little while, and then it just kind of grew from there in a really organic and surprising way to me, actually.
Before Aaliyah asks the next question, I just want to follow up with one quick question. So you've been doing Twitch streaming for a grand total of 2 years approximately then, is that correct?
Less than that, probably. It was, I think I went live early to mid-December of 2020. Because like I had like really overthought everything, and also, you know, listened to those defeating voices and insecurities in your head saying like, nobody's gonna watch, nobody's gonna do that, this is all pointless, whatever it was. And so I finally said, you know what? I'm just gonna do it. And so I just, you know, went live one day after, because I already had like a microphone and an interface and like a shitty ass web camera. I'm sorry, I don't know if we can curse on here or not. Okay, cool. So I had all of the small things that a streamer needs to start with, which I think we'll get to a little bit later. But like none of the tech or anything. I just like tried to do it. And like, I remember going to hit record or go live for that first time. I was like, I'm going to throw up. It was like almost like trying to go out on stage in front of a bunch of people, but you had no idea if there was anyone actually in the crowd or not or anything like that.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, it just kind of went from there. So because I had thought about it for months and months, like I said, even before just trying to stream music or whatever. And then so I could have probably been streaming for longer than that, but I just, you know, listened to all the things that say, nah, no one's going to want to watch you. And then finally I kind of got over that and it, you know, took on a life of its own, I think.
And one more follow-up before Aaliyah asks. Sorry, Aaliyah. How many people actually showed up to the first one out of curiosity?
I think three.
Fair.
I think fair. Three or five or something like that. It may have been one of the, I can't really remember it right now, but I remember the number three, like specifically burned in my mind. Cause I think it went from like zero to three real quick. A buddy of mine, shout out to Rob. I don't know if he's ever going to listen to this or not, but I think he was the first one that wandered in and, you know, we were chatting and stuff like that. And just ever since then, it has been like, you know, it goes in fits and spurts and stuff like that. Sometimes there, I see like weeks of growth, and then sometimes I see it where it plateaus, or, you know, over the past couple of weeks, beginning of this year, I was started to notice like a dip, for a little while. So, and that's just like the nature of live TV, I guess, live internet. I don't exactly know what to call Twitch, like live streaming, I guess.
Streaming, yeah.
Don't make sense.
Well, since you brought it up, this, what do you think are the essential like tech requirements to start streaming?
Let's see, microphone, web camera for sure. Maybe possibly a ring light, like this like nice little one that's like burning my eyeballs right now. And a computer, obviously, like you need a computer before you do that, but that's it for the most part. Like that, and then just like a want to get on and create content and talk to people and stuff like that. So like, to give you an idea, when I first started, I had this shitty 2012 MacBook Pro that I went on, and then this shitty, I don't know if it's plugged in or not, interface that I've got right here that I've literally had, Aaliyah and Curtis, since I think I was in high school, that have just been like popping around with me. And, you know, a bunch of older like microphones and stuff like that I had from, you know, my music days or anything. And that's what I did for a little bit. And I like, you know, put together some crappy backgrounds and stuff like that, I think on Canva or some like free websites online. And that was basically it. I don't remember. I think I had a webcam just ready to go, but I've bought a couple more since. And like the stream would crash all the time. It would freeze up for most of the time. It would be like really laggy and everything. But that's just like kind of how it went. You just kind of put everything together and learn as you go. The great thing that I found about Twitch is that every single person, regardless of who you are, has technical problems because, we're all running things by ourselves, and the reliability of internet connections and tech and the streaming softwares we use and stuff like that. So people were super patient when things weren't going right, or, when, I was like trying to get into a groove, but the internet was lagging and stuff like that. Which is, one of the reasons why I kept going with Twitch is because the people were like, yeah, we just want to hear music, and it's cool if you're not, exactly all that technically sound or whatever, because we find this fun and want to keep going. So, after many, many tries and weeks and months and stuff like that, I've just kind of plugged in here and there with like putting out this $30 webcam I have with like an $80 webcam, and like buying a new interface and like getting a new, piecemeal stuff like that. Just like I think one of those things that you got to do. So yeah, microphone, webcam, computer, maybe a ring light for light, and like that's about it, honestly.
I have a burning question, but Aaliyah needs to ask the next question before I get into it.
Okay.
Burning.
Okay.
Burning
Well,
bad.
burning, he says,
Burn.
ready to go.
Getting
Burn.
back to the growth of your Twitch career, could you like walk us through the tale of how you started working with Knotfest?
Yeah, so I guess it goes back to December as well. I did a very small, Christmas time charity stream or something like that. Like, I think all told, everybody, the entirety of the stream, we raised like $45 or something like that, right? I'd only been streaming for a couple of weeks, but I was doing it because I've got a nice playlist full of like heavy metal Christmas songs and Christmas adjacent stuff and like all this other stuff. We were just like having fun. Like, it's close to Christmas. Let's just hang out, listen to some weird ass stupid music. Have some money go to a food bank, whatever it is. And one of the people that I met through Discord servers and through Bees and stuff like that popped in, and it turned out to be you'll know this name very well, Curtis. It turned out to be Mazza. Yeah, so came on, like had a really fun time, and just we ended up striking up like a rapport and a friendship and everything like that, and got to be one of my repeat viewers all the time, and part of this like small core community that started the very first days of like my Twitch streaming and stuff like that. So, there was like always those constant, 3 to 6 people that were going to show up every night or whatever it was, which is, when you're starting out, really, really, really important. And just through that, I didn't know it at the time, but Maz had started working with Knotfest sometime after that. And when the ideas of like the Twitch channel and the network and everything started going, he approached me and was like, "Hey, is this something that you'd be interested in doing? I don't know if it's exactly possible because you're like nobody, but like we can at least have a conversation and see where that goes." And we had a conversation and it went well, and here I am talking to you guys today. So shout out to Matt Rushton over at Knotfest and Hellbent for Metal for being a stand-up dude.
That kind of leads into the next question. So, well, sort of leads into it. So,
I'll make it lead into
Shove it in. Ready to go.
well, this is a burning question. So a lot of people go, like, you can make millions of dollars streaming on Twitch. Other people can't make any income. Are you willing to go over, like, are you able to turn, do you think you could turn this into something that's lucrative at some point? I'm assuming you're not rolling like in millions of dollars, right? I'm assuming. I mean, maybe you
Yeah,
are.
no, I wish, man. Like, if you think that, then yeah. I mean, I guess I'm doing something right if you think that, but no. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, obviously that's the goal, right? It's not like, oh, I want to, be eating soup and crackers out of instant noodles bowl or something like that for the rest of my life. And definitely the gig with Knotfest has very much helped over the last little while. So I guess to rewind it back, when I was first doing Twitch streaming, and basically until about July, end of July, early August of 2021, I was working a full-time job on top of doing the Twitch streaming and stuff like that. So I was on stream for probably about like 10 to 15 hours a week, give or take, on top of like all of the prep and everything that would go into that. On top of working, you know, 40, 50, 60 hours a week at the, you know, the news industry gig that I had and stuff like that. So, I mean, there were days, especially when Pulse of the Maggots was first getting started, that I would wake up, be at work at 6 a.m., work the 8-hour shift, have an hour to eat, and then get on for two shows, so 4 hours worth of streaming for Knotfest. So, and then my day would end about like 9 to 10 p.m. and then get up at 6 a.m. to be at work the next day and stuff like that. That did a big old toll on my mental and physical health and everything like that, as you can imagine. And like, I started suffering from burnout a lot. And to the point, like, my friends, coworkers, and partner were all, like, starting to get a little bit concerned there for a little while. I kept going because I was like, I don't know if this is, like, I was too scared to try and just, like, do only the streaming thing because, you know, I didn't make a ton of money, but I made enough to, like, not have to worry, like, where my rent check was coming from or grocery bills or anything like that. And, you know, how would that change versus what we were doing, if I was only just doing streaming? But the support of my partner and like being very particular about, you know, the money that comes into my bank account and budgeting and all that other stuff, I was able to be like, I think I can make this work. Also because I've been able to save a little bit from working basically two full-time jobs with the Knotfest thing and the news thing for a little bit. So I was like, if I could do this for a couple of months, I think I'll be all right. And then it just went from there. So yeah, like I'm not exactly making what I was before, but I'm able to at least pay my bills and my rent and everything like that for the most part, which is like all that I wanted to do because everything else is, just extra after that. And like, I'm used to being a homebody introvert that doesn't go out to do a whole lot of stuff anymore other than like concerts and stuff like that. But we haven't had to spend money on any of that over the last 2 years. So that's kind of how it goes. And I guess I may have like mangled your original question, Curtis, but like, yeah, I mean, like, I think like getting back to that, I do think that there is an avenue for me personally to find a living or a way from doing this. I don't know if it's necessarily Twitch streaming at the end of the day, just because that's something that I do because I love doing it and because I have a lot of fun doing it. But whether it's like, you know, getting these opportunities to like interview more and bigger bands or like do these radio spots or whatever it is, like I'm finding over the last year and change that there are opportunities there that have kind of presented themselves to me over the last little while. And, you know, where those type of opportunities lead and where, you know, how, you know, lucrative or, you know, whatever it is that you want to think, I don't know, but they're definitely there. So I think, yes, I think we can do that in the future, Curtis.
Cool. So just to clarify on one thing, just to make sure I got it correctly. So you think that your streaming and your both personally and with Knotfest is going to lead into something more elsewhere versus just the Twitch, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, and like I've never been, and maybe this is like a bad thing that you don't want to admit, but I've never been like a big picture look at the future type of dude. I've always been like very much like what is going on now or in the very close future type of thing. Whereas like when I was working at my previous job, I was there about 5 years and change, because of, graduating college right at the turn of the decade, about 2011 or so, and all the problems the news industry had with that, I didn't feel like I was really stable or comfortable, and like I use comfortable in like the loosest term, right? Until about, just a couple of years ago. But then, like, I was sitting there and being like, man, am I going to do this shitty job for, like, the next 10 years or 20 years or whatever? I don't know. So, and that's what kind of, like, spiraled in the whole, like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know who I am. I don't, like, know what the fuck is going on. All of those existential crises that a lot of us, went through over the past couple of years and stuff like that. So, you know, I can't ever say that I foresaw, you know, streaming on a place like Knotfest or anything like that, or even just like a metal publication when I first started doing Twitch. But like, you know, I'm not going to lie and say that that wasn't a hope or a possibility or being found or something like that from someone, because like, obviously you want to do it that way. But I mean, would I still be streaming now if there was like zero people for a week? I mean, I don't know. Probably not, but that's a test in, you know, willpower and whatnot. But the fact that even just a couple of people have been interested has like really fueled me for like doing this consistently. Did I lose the plot on that one again, Curtis, or what? I tend to ramble sometimes.
I think it was a perfect answer, and I think it probably leads into Leah's next question quite well, actually.
Yeah, actually. So you do some really great interviews, and I had the pleasure of being interviewed by you, actually, a few weeks back.
Yeah, how the turntables, huh?
Indeed. My, how the turntables. But I was just wondering if you have any tips for myself or other interviewers to make a great interview.
Yeah, it's funny that you asked me this, because I actually just remembered that someone who comes onto my stream and has been getting more into like music reviews and stuff like that just asked me about this last week, and I completely spaced and forgot to answer them until today. So I was like, yeah, give me a day or two. I'm kind of busy right now. And then like a week and a half later, I was like, oh shit, I forgot to answer you. And
awesome.
I can tell
fresh in your mind.
Yeah, exactly. And I can tell the coffee is kicking in because I'm starting to talk like really, 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 really fast. So for me, like I am always first and foremost like a fan of music and a heavy metal fan and stuff like that. So I usually at least try to start with what would I find interesting as a music listener, a fan of this band or something like that, that, you know, that they can talk about or that we can talk about. That's more than just like, yeah, who are your influences or what is your, you know, where's your band name come from and stuff like that. It doesn't have to be like a massive, physicist pie in the sky question or anything like that, but anything, open-ended that I feel like I would want to listen to them talk about as a music listener, or anything that ignites their passion about what they do. Because, you know, for the most part, every single person that I talk to is like passionate about the music, right? Because like, why would they be doing it otherwise? And so, you know, just like me talking about Twitch streams, or like Aaliyah, you talking about your band, or like anything like that, once you really start to dig into that, you know, it is really easy for things to come through. And then I also try not to forget that I'm talking to like an actual human being on the other end. Like it's hard sometimes because of, you know, digital divides and computer screens and stuff like that. But, these are, you know, musicians are people too, with their own like wants, fears, desires, all of that type of stuff, right? And especially like with Pulse of the Maggots, we're talking to a lot of bands that are either like just getting their foot in the door or have been working for a really long time just to get like some semblance of recognition or whatever it might be. And I want to give them the time of the day to be able to like talk about this thing that they want to do, because I don't know, for all I know, that could be the most important 10 days of their day, their week, their month. I don't know. So I always try and keep that in mind as well. And also just try and treat it like a fun conversation, like always greet everybody with a smile and treat them like human beings and stuff like that. So I think those are the biggest things that I think of whenever I try to do that, because like, I have my roots in the news industry, but I was a photographer, not like a journalist or reporter or anything like that. We still had to, you know, talk to people and interview them and get information and everything like that. So I wouldn't say that that's a necessarily like developed skill that I've had for like years and years and years, but obviously doing them multiple times a week for the past year, you start to figure out your footing. And just like anything else, the more you practice, the more you do, the better you get at it.
Totally. So I don't think, and I could be wrong, I think I've been at pretty much most of the Pulse of the Maggots for like the last 7 months or whatever, but
yeah.
You ever found it difficult to get someone talking on a stream?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, but I've also had that just in general, whether it's through like other podcasts or trying to talk to people out in the field or like on assignments or anything like that. Yeah, there are definitely some people where it's not that they're like obstinate or like don't want to answer questions or anything like that, but are maybe a little bit more soft spoken or a little bit more kind of direct and things like that, to where, you know, I always try to ask like non yes or no questions or more open ended things and stuff like that. And it'll be, a couple words answer and then leave it at that. And they're like, all right. And that's just kind of like, I guess, another skill. And, you know, Ili, I guess this gets back to the previous question as well, is just being very open for like the interview to go a way that you don't expect, or to be open for detours or side routes, or just like, or, you know, Curtis interviewed Manuel from Zealand Ardor a couple of weeks ago for First Listen. And I had prepped like a bunch of questions that I wanted to know and like all of this other stuff. And then he gets on and starts like being this like fun, goofy, personable guy that's just like talking about stuff like non-related to music. And I was basically like, all right, crumpling this up and throwing that away. And we're just going to see where the fun takes us. So yeah, that's a good example of that. But I mean, to Curtis, I guess to answer your question, that has happened. Not anything that's been like, oh my God, this is terrible. There's just, you know, sometimes a little bit people that are more soft-spoken, maybe not used to talking on camera or in front of a live setting or stuff like that. And you just kind of have to roll with it and try and, like, I try and see if I can get a read off their personality and see if there's maybe a way that I can take it that might open them up a little bit more. But that's just the way of, like, improv and just kind of going with the flow and those sorts of things.
Well, the day it does happen, you will have a fun time. I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
So, Aaliyah, did you have a follow-up on interviews before I ask the next question?
I do not. Go ahead.
I thought you were going to say, like, who was your favorite interview of all time and why was it me? Like, Jesus Christ, that's what I would say.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
I'm kidding. But in all seriousness, so how do you kind of feel that it is for interviewing people that are kind of like names versus bands that are smaller on Pulse? Because, like, I mean, you've had Trevor, you had a whole bunch of the guys on that round table, which we can get into. I realize we didn't ask a question about that. But,
oh, and it's not on the list, but we do need to ask.
We do need to ask about that.
I have a feeling we're about to talk about it, though. So
we will get into this very, very soon here. But what is the difference you find between interviewing the quote unquote big names versus the newer upcoming bands?
How much I feel like I want to shit my pants is probably the answer. No, okay. So like, yeah, I mean, honestly, I get nervous before every interview. I don't ever tell the people that I'm interviewing that. And, you know, but like, it's true, just like before, like I get nervous before going on live every time. Like, it's gotten less and not as like abrasive or like right in my face since I like first started doing the Knotfest stuff. But it's still there, just like Leah, I'm sure you get nervous every time before you get on stage. It's just like one of those things that happens, you know? But like, I don't know, when I, like, especially when I was talking with, like, all of the dudes in the death metal round table, Corpse Grinder and Trevor and, you know, Chase and Alex, and just, like, you know, these, like, really great dudes from well-known and prominent bands in the scene right now, I was like, fuck, these dudes know way more about death metal and have forgotten more about death metal than I will ever know in my entire life. And I'm supposed to sit here and fucking lead a conversation with them? Was basically kind of my reaction. But then, you know, you start doing the research and everything, and then I was like, I thought my heart was just gonna like explode like 3 seconds before we went live. And then once we did, you know, when I think it went really well and we had a really good conversation, mostly because I realized that those dudes all know each other. Nobody's fucking here to see me or to hear me talk. So I could just like let them have their rapport with each other and kind of like step in when I needed to, step back for a little while. And it was really nice, because there were times where I was going like 10, 15 minutes or so without saying anything. And like, that's what the people want, I think. So yeah, I don't know, Curtis, it's like, I haven't gotten the opportunity to interview like a ton of well-known quote unquote like bands or like really household names in the metal community or anything like that just yet. But like, I get nervous before everyone, even if it's you know, a band that I'm into but don't know a whole lot about, like Vexed, when we interviewed them, because their album had just came out and I was like really big fan of it, but like I'd only been listening to it for like a couple of weeks at that point, versus like other people that come on and I like don't really know anything about their band and have to spend a couple of days like researching and getting to know. And I get more nervous actually with the bands that don't have a lot of info online or like other than their music, because I don't know, you know, how many of these questions have you been asked before? Like, what are the things that you're tired of hearing? That type of stuff. But yeah, with that one example, Curtis, I thought I was just going to puke and die until right before we went live.
There's no way, though, that you could possibly get nervous still with Trevor when you go on, is there?
Not like with Trevor. I'm nervous about the act of live streaming and like going on and doing that thing, right? But it's not like, oh, I'm with Trevor, because you know we've done it obviously the very first time that we did that. But like Trevor's such a nice dude, George was such a nice dude, and all the people on that round table were nice dudes. And I haven't walked away from an interview yet being like, oh, that person's an ass or anything, like, you know. And like most of the, I would say like all if not most of the people that I've interviewed have been like shining personalities and great people to chat to. But definitely that first time, even though I knew Trevor was a stand-up dude and like have been like seeing him in different podcasts and videos and that and everything like that for a little while, it's like, all right, I definitely don't want this like really happy dude to think I'm like an asshole or an idiot or something like that. So that was more where the nervousness was coming from than just like being around with them or anything like that.
That makes sense. That makes total sense. So next, we gotta go totally different route here.
Yeah, let's do it.
How do you keep people engaged on your streams? Because you're pretty good at it.
Yeah, I don't know. Just by talking to them, I think. That's so one of the things that always comes up a lot that I've heard when people talk about my stream, whether they're coming on for the first time or like, you know, my parents, whenever they watch my stream, right, I'm like pulling out compliments from my parents to like raise my self-esteem, I guess. But like, like, you know, I've heard this a fair amount where they say like, oh, you sound very natural, like this is very natural to you. And like, it's not something I really thought about until like, I don't know, a couple of months ago or something like that, because I just honestly just kind of get on and try and do the thing and be like, look, I'm stoked about almost everything that I'm playing, and even if I'm not stoked about it, it'll probably still be pretty fun anyway. So I start with trying to play a lot of stuff that I like really am passionate about, because that's one thing that I've heard a lot, just not even for Twitch streaming, but like through most of my adult life, is like when I get excited about something, I get that kind of like bunny type of thing where I'm like bouncing up and down and like, ooh, I really want to talk about it. I really want to talk about it. And that apparently gets people excited. So I think that's one of the ways, Curtis, is just by being an excitable person myself that can kind of just be infectious to other people and stuff like that. But also like taking time to read as many of the comments as I can and keep conversation going. Because like that's the cool thing about Twitch, right? Is like you're literally a keyboard away from talking to Matt Heafy or Devin Townsend or Gene Hoagland or like an absolute nobody like myself or something like that, right? And sometimes people want to just like say what they want to say about a particular song or band or music, or are really stoked that they're hearing this thing that they really like that they never heard anywhere, or want to give a recommendation on something that they like that might sound like what we're listening to currently. And so having those conversations and stuff like that, and you know, again, trying to treat people like as human as you can for just like a username on screen and stuff like that, and engaging with them that way, I think is also a really big way. And then I also try and listen to what everybody has to say, whether it's like recommendations for albums to listen to or bands or what have you. Like, I'm not saying that every single person that comes on and unsolicitedly just like, hey, play my band's song, when we're clearly listening to this like atmospheric black metal album or something like that. But like, you know, I would have never heard of Brutus if it were not. That's not true. Someone talked to me about them before, but like I sat down and listened to Brutus because the people in the chat were like, you would love this band, like you should listen to it. And, you know, that's why I try and work in requests themes and stuff like that every little bit, because it's not just for me that I'm doing this, it's so that other people can be stoked on music as much as I am, because that's the biggest thing, is like if someone is passionate about something, I get really, really excited about that. And hearing people, whatever it is, whether it's you know, their power metal or their grindcore or whatever it is, I want to hear it if someone thinks that it's really, really, really fucking good.
Fair enough. Now, just as a follow-up to that, how many of your fans, I don't know what you'd call them, fans?
Viewers, people, viewer, community, I guess. I don't really like the fans,
I personally. Community, I don't know what to call it, so I just...
Yeah, community works.
How many people, adoring fans, no, I'm just kidding. How many people that actually show up to your streams do you actually communicate with also off the streams? I don't know if I'm a weirdo or whatever, but I mean, like, I'll DM you and say good show, talk to you every once in a while. I mean, that possibly is due to the Corey connection, but whatever. How often does that really occur where you kind of like make a friend offline or online as a result of your Twitch stream, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
It's not like an everyday occurrence, but it's not uncommon. A lot of that also has to do with the fact that, like, you know, I have a very small Discord server or whatever that people who are regulars on the channel or coming in for the first time can go on that. And I know, you know, it's 2022 now. Everybody and their mother has a Discord server, and like we're overflowing at the seams and everything like that. But, you know, I have it there just as a little place for people to, you know, chat after the streams or share music during off days or, you know, just get to know each other through that way, because, you know, there are a lot of people that have gotten to know each other through other Discord servers or other Twitch channels or accounts. And we've kind of built up this community here that touches a lot of different streamers, I think. So, and then I also get comments sometimes from people that I interview or bands or whatever that would say like, hey, thanks, this is great or whatever. And we may, you know, strike up just a quick message back and forth and start that rapport, so that hopefully the next time we talk to each other, when we see a show and stuff like that, we're becoming more friendly rather than just like strangers and stuff like that. But I would say, if we're talking about like on the Discord server and stuff like that, I keep up with a lot of people there. So pretty regularly, I would say, but it's not like everybody is messaging me after the show or after a stream or whatever and be like, hey, what's up? How's it going? Like, how was your day? Like that type of stuff.
I'm the one weirdo that does that. Awesome.
No, it's cool. I really do appreciate it. It's nice to be recognized and, appreciated, I suppose.
Yeah. You're probably going like that fucking stalker. No, I'm just kidding. on a different topic though. Unless Aaliyah had a follow-up for that.
I just want to offer an affirmation about that. As a viewer, I do think that you do a really good job of interacting with people and making us feel like listened to. And to me, that is an integral part of the Twitch experience. Unless you're lurking, if you're talking in the chat, it matters so much if you're acknowledged. Yeah. If you're not acknowledged, it's so much easier to just click away and go somewhere else. But as soon as somebody responds to you and acknowledges your presence, you're like, like I'm here now. Like you feel more present.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And I like, try not to take that lightly too, because I know sometimes people just like want to be heard, whether they're screaming like, I hate this band and everybody likes this band and I don't understand why. It's like, yeah, cool. I appreciate the kind words, and especially with, you know, my channel and stuff like that, where we don't have hundreds or thousands of viewers or anything like that. It's what I appreciate about it is that people can feel a lot more seen and heard at that point, because there's not like a scroll going like crazy. Thanks for that, because I definitely try and put an effort into doing that on all the streams that I do.
And one thing I also noticed too, John, is that you also pretty much know the names of almost everybody on your stream, even behind the handle, which is uncommon for a lot of people.
I try not to dox a lot of people though, but I do that because with donations and stuff like that, I get to see everybody's name. So if you're trying to hide behind your PayPal account, everybody, I can see it. But it's just like, you know, after a little while, I mean, some of these people have been, for whatever reason, just coming every day for like months at a time, or if not every day, they pop in for a regular interview, go about their lives and come back at some point. So even people that come back and I haven't seen for a while, when they're back, it's just like they've never left or anything like that. So I think that gets Curtis and Aaliyah to your points about just community, right? Because again, it's still relatively small, right? Like I'm not pulling in hundreds and hundreds of viewers. So that gives time for that, like personal connections and those one-on-ones and stuff like that. Because I try and be pretty open for the most part on stream, and, you know, everybody else on stream for the most part, I feel like, is as well. And that, you know, comes with getting to know each other as not just like viewers or fans or anything like that, but actual friends, so that, you know, in this day and age, you can't. I guess you can start to do this a little bit now, but like you couldn't as easily just be like, yeah, everybody, let's hang out and listen to some albums or whatever. And that, I, at the core, when I first started streaming, that was what I really wanted, is like, let's just, instead of like a book club or, you know, hanging out and watching a movie, let's just all gather around the fireplace, turn on some fucking Primal Fear or whatever it is and just like have a fun time swapping stories and talking shop and all that other type of stuff.
Cool. So before we get on to the final question, let's talk a little bit about Mr. Barnes and your celebrity status of Mr. Barnes. So,
sure.
I remember seeing, I think I was one, I think probably the first person to show you the tweet. I think it was me probably. No, maybe not. Maybe I showed Corey. I don't remember.
I think you both sent me shit at the same time because I had originally seen it on Lambgoat. That like there was a screenshot of the round table that we did on Lambgoat because I was just going to check some news and you know, see if there was any new music or anything like that, because I make, on top of all the other things that I listen to, I always make a try and make the rounds on like different blogs or publications or anything like that, right? So I go there, lo and behold, I'm like, wait a second, that, like, oh shit, it is. And I was like, first, let's say, oh God, what did we do? Like, what happened? And then I saw what was going on and I was like, eh, I'm like, all right, like, whatever. And just kind of like went about my day. And then you and Corey at the same time, I think, were like, blabbermouth. And then I was just, oh fuck, all right, here we go.
So did you ever end up talking to Chris, or did you get blocked or what? Just out of curiosity.
No, I mean, I hardly ever use Twitter to begin with, Curtis. Like, I think it's pretty evident if anybody follows me. Like, I got off Twitter once I left before I even left the news industry. Like, once I got the okay from my supervisor that we didn't have to have a Twitter account anymore for our job, I was like, done, deleted, gone. Because it's, I've spent more than enough time through like working in news and media and stuff like that on Twitter for a lifetime. The last I checked, I'm not blocked, but like I also wasn't tweeting at him or doing anything like that because I don't know, maybe this is like not smart marketing on my part or something like that. You can yell at me, Curtis, but I was just like, I don't know. I wasn't trying to like bring more attention or shit talk Chris Barnes or like blowing all this stuff into everything else. So I was just like, none of this is about me. I'm just going to, like Homer Simpson in the GIF, I'm just going to slink back over here and see what, like, I'll let Alex and I'll let George and I'll, like, all these other people talk about it because, like, no one wants to fucking hear from me. I did watch a video. Finn McKinty did like a recap of this, and he was like, I don't know who this guy is right here. I assume that he's probably the host, but that. Like, yeah, he's like, but if he isn't, and he is a death metal vocalist, then shout out for Stay Puft Mala for having the least metal name of all time. And then like went around, and that was about the extent. So I was like, this shit isn't about me. This is really fun, but I also like don't really have the mental capacity to try and like sling shit with Chris Barnes or anything like that. Cause like, I don't care. He can say whatever he wants. It's not going to bother me none.
But here's the key question. Did you get any increase in views, follows, or anything as a result of that, or is it just like
there was what I would call a little bit of a dead cat bounce, right? Like I did have a small influx of like Instagram followers and here and there, and there were a couple people for about a week or two afterwards that mentioned like, hey, like nice job pissing off Chris Barnes or whatever when they would come onto the stream or anything like that. But it wasn't like, oh, all of a sudden this dude is known now or anything like that. Because after a while, like, it kept coming up over and over again because Chris would say something else or one of the other bands would have an interview and they would met. So, like, it kept coming up and, you know, it was always about what he said and what the bands were on it. And that was fine with me because, like I said, with that whole thing in general, I was there to just facilitate the conversation and disappear into the background and let them talk and everything like that. And that's kind of where I felt I was with this whole thing, and I was just like, well, this is pretty fun. I guess that's wouldn't have seen this coming when I first started streaming a year ago, and then, you know, just kind of like, all right, let's go. Although I was joking about this, and then Alex mentioned this in an interview as well, that we should send Chris a fruit basket for that, because he keeps bringing up that thing, and I'm pretty sure that's gotten like tens of thousands more views than it ever would have if he didn't have said anything about it. So like, I can't be too mad at the guy, I don't think. So
I agree. Correct me if I'm wrong, probably just the association with Trevor is probably the thing that's going to get you more followers than anything. Like, if he retweets you, it's
Yeah, definitely. Honestly, just like doing the thing for a little while, right? Like, I mean, I've been joking about it right now where it's like, I'm a nobody, because it just takes time to become a somebody, right? Like, I don't know if that's going to be, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever it is, right? I mean, just I am enjoying what I'm doing right now, and I'm just putting in the work every day and not trying to like overreach or underreach or anything like that. I'm just like, I'm staying consistent with my streaming schedule, keeping up with the things that I need to keep up with, taking the opportunities and like asking for opportunities when I can, and just doing all of that type of stuff so that, hopefully over the next like few years or whatever it is, it's just like, okay, that becomes a little bit more baked into like the music media landscape or like the heavy metal landscape or whatever it is, right? Because like none of this shit is built overnight. It's over like a long, steady, agonizing, day by day process and stuff like that. So I'm just trying to enjoy the ride while I'm on it because like A, I never expected to get this far in the first place, and B, who knows how long this is going to be a thing, giving like changing media landscapes and online landscapes and music industry stuff and everything like that. So I'm just trying to put in the work and do the thing. But yeah, definitely like working with Knotfest every week and every day, and hanging out with Trevor every other week and getting opportunities like the Death Metal Roundtable and stuff like that are like steps in that ladder over the long run, I think.
Cool. Aaliyah, you know what? We forgot to ask him about the names. You should ask him about
I was just about to, actually. Speaking of the least metal name,
the
this death metal name out there, how did you happen upon your moniker of Stay Puffed Mallow?
Okay, so this is a really dumb, short, and boring story. The skinny of it is, it was just a gamer tag that I used on Xbox when I got a 360 to play Call of Duty when I was in my freshman year of college. Like, that's it. I had never, I think I got an Xbox 360 for Christmas, like right before they were about to go out of style, right? So they were like the cheapest that they ever were. And I needed a gamer tag, and I was like, well, Ghostbusters is my favorite movie. I like the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man, as you can see, right here.
Yes.
I'll do that, whatever. Stay Puffed Mallow, fine. And then it kind of lied dormant for a little bit until I was on Twitch, and then I think I had an old like screen name that I used ever since high school that was John of the Dead, just because I thought it was fun, right? And I was like, no, I don't want to use my real name on Twitch. I'm gonna flip it. So I was just like, Stay Puft Marshmallow. There you go. Just like put that in there. So just a spur of the moment, like, oh, this is the gamer tag that I used back. I'm gonna do that, and then that's what kind of everybody started knowing me by on Twitch, because we just know each other's like screen names and handles and stuff like that. And then I decided to, for whatever reason, just decided to use that as like branding when I started my Twitch channel. And there it is. So it's just as like kind of a like a nickname type of thing where a lot of viewers just know me by Stay Puft, not by John, but it's like, I don't know. I was joking beforehand. Like, if I had known it was gonna like catch on or I would have gotten this far, I probably would have picked a better fucking name. But like, here we are.
It works, you know. Curtis, do you have a follow-up on that? So, other than putting a little more thought into your screen name on Twitch, what other tips do you have for getting started on Twitch?
Number one, just do it. Like, don't listen to that voice in your head that says no one's gonna watch you or you're not good enough or like anything like that. Just do it. I mean, yeah, maybe those things will come true and happen, but just like if you do it over and over and over again, right? And just be consistent with it and really want to, go at it and try and do a thing, just get on and do it. And just be yourself, I think, is like the biggest thing. Don't try and be anything for anybody else, or try and be a stand-up comedian when you're not, or try and be a snob if you're not, or anything like that, right? Just get on and do the thing that makes you you. And I think people will really resonate with that, because just like with music or any other type of artistic trade, when you are who you are, people see that, right? A lot of people can see authenticity from fakeness, and just by doing that, that's all you need. And I don't know, just like I don't even know if you need a plan too much, whether it's like playing this types of games or these types of musics or like whatever it is that you want. Just get on and do something that you're passionate about and that you can engage with people in, and then just do it.
I do have a specific question about that though.
Yeah.
Is there like a what do you think is like the minimum number of hours or streams that you should be doing per week? Like once a week, or is like definitely not enough? Like, and how many hours do you think, I guess in an ideal universe, let's
yeah
say.
I think that that'll probably like and I don't mean to sound like this for a cop-out, because I'll like expand on this in a bit, but I think it will honestly depend on the content creator and like what their goals are and what they want and what they want to use Twitch for. Because like some people streaming once a week, if you do like 3 or 4 hours and like you already have a presence on YouTube or something like that and just want to do something for fun for a little while, that might be a thing for you. If you want to try and consistently you know, nurture a fan base and stuff like that, I mean, you know, 3 times a week, 4 times a week at least, you know, maybe more than that if you can stand it. Obviously that, you know, gets in of like, you know, how much free time you have and how much you want to be doing that. But yeah, it'll, I think it honestly will depend on like what the type of content that you're putting out there and what the type of stuff that you want to do and, you know, where else you might be on the internet or anything like that. Because stuff like music or games or, you know, discussing movies or cooking or whatever, like we've seen over the last 2 years, Twitch explode to not just be games anymore, right? It's like all of this other type of stuff. If you want to watch someone do a painting or, you know, make sushi or whatever else it is, or just the dog cams, right? Like here's an animal sanctuary that just has a live stream of this. So yeah, I think it will honestly depend on what people want to do. Twitch does have guidelines as far as like affiliate and partner programs and stuff like that, as far as how many hours per month you need to stream. I can't off the top of me remember what it is for like affiliates. I think for partners it might be you have to stream at least 25 hours a month or something like that. I don't remember, but there is like Twitch does say if you want to make money doing this, you have to do X amount of streams per week. So yeah, if you want to rake in money through that, you'd have to do that. But if you're just like a YouTube player or like a YouTube personality or something like that, that wants to, you know, work in a game stream or a unrelated stream or something like that, I mean, maybe once a week.
Yeah.
I think that's all we got for questions today. John, do you have anything final you would like to say before we end off?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I love being able to talk with you guys about this. Obviously, it's a thing that I do just about every single day and what I'm like super passionate about, and get to like, it's a passion inside of a passion, because I get to talk about like heavy metal and shit like that all the time. And I'm just like appreciative that you guys want to talk to me, and like anybody wants to come and hang out on the stream or like think that I'm interesting or like anything like that, because like, you know, for most of my, if not all of my adult life, I'd say even like all of my just like life in general, I've, you know, battled with, you know, insecurities and like not being good enough or like thinking I'm my own worst enemy, that type of stuff. And being able to like, I still deal with that on a regular basis, right? It's not like that just disappears overnight, but being able to kind of like put myself out there and go has been like really, really empowering and cool, I think, for me to go from like 2 years ago when I was this like miserable husk of a human that wanted out of my job and had no direction, to now being like, I don't know what's going to come next, but there are opportunities and things that I can do and stuff like that. So just like, I appreciate y'all and anybody who has or will listen or tune in the future. And yeah, I don't think I'm anything special, but I just want to share the fucking love of heavy metal, because there can't be enough places where there's heavy metal being played.
John, you are something special, and we really appreciate you coming on. Go ahead, Curtis.
I got one last thing, because he forgot to promote it. They also have the Pulse of the Maggots Fest this Friday, because I believe we're going to be having the this up tomorrow. So I just wanted to do
fantastic.
A plug for that. So I'll let you do that really quick, John, before Aaliyah takes us home.
Yeah, everybody, if you're listening before Friday, March 11th, we have an 18-band online festival called Pulse of the Maggots 3x22. It is the third time that we are doing this, and basically we're taking a lot of the bands that we play on the Twitch show, Pulse of the Maggots, which is Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific time every Monday. And any band that is like up and coming or getting their foot in the door or just... a new, fresh, interesting sound, whether it's like, you know, grindcore or hip hop or just like good old fashioned metal. We're trying to champion all those new and exciting bands. So come by on knotfest.com Friday, March 11th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific. And if you miss it and are listening to this after that date, we will be putting select performances and stuff like that on YouTube over the course of the next couple like days, weeks, months. Kind of depends on the bands, but the ones that we've had for the last festival have slowly been getting out there and are really fun to watch. So tune in, everybody. It'll be good. And then also listen to Corey and me on Mondays, 2 p.m. Pacific time, everybody.
Cool.
Excellent. Thank you so much again for coming on. Everybody check out Stay Puffed Mellow on Twitch. And until next time, make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.